being completely naive. I mean, I go to my first Rhino X, and I'm literally in the airport coming home, calling my dad. I'm like, Dad, you wouldn't even believe. There's guys out here that are doing, you know, $40, $50, $60, $100 million in revenue. And he's like, there's no way. The best thing about Rhino X is you're there and you're talking to people and you're having a conversation. You realize they're not that much different than you are.
Chad, did you see this? He built an upside down booth and did a photo shoot for it, and it is bad.
I'm trying to find it, but I'm terrible at searching on.
It was awesome. And, you know, we're at a home show and people are there like looking for bathroom remodeling, kitchen remodel stuff too. And they had no idea, like they thought we were trying to advertise bathroom remodels by showing this upside down bathroom. I'm like, no, it's just, you know, a play on, you know, we're trying to flip the home services space on its head.
All this stuff was just entertaining, right? Because we are all in the entertainment business. That's how we get attention, right? For our businesses, regardless of what we do.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, along with my co-host, Mr. Chad Peterman, Chatty P, in the place to be. Chad, what's up, buddy?
Not much, man. Hanging in there.
I got to come up with some new names for you, man.
Oh, great. Can't wait.
You know, I know you say that, but secretly, you enjoy it. You're like, what else is he gonna be able to call me? That, and you know, I don't know if I can get past the Ron Colley ringer. I mean, that one, I felt like I hit a pinnacle.
That was good.
It's pretty solid. So yeah. I'll come up with something. John, if you think of something, man, feel free to text me and let me know, man. See if I can come up with it. Or if something pops up in your head, please feel free to share. Chad loves it. But, you know, his favorite is, I think, 22 Savage, which has, you know, deep roots. Deep roots in the nickname game for Chad. If you don't know, sorry. You'll have to ask him if you see him in person.
Great.
Well, we have a good friend of ours on here. We have Mr. John Bowman, who's been to a few Rhino X time or two. Now, who's grown a nice little business up in the old Northeast, up in the Connecticut market. Hey, by the way, congrats to the UConn girls.
Yeah.
Getting the natty. Yeah.
They were hot the other night.
I couldn't believe that it had been since, was it 2016 that they had won the title or something crazy like that?
But
I was
like,
no way. Yeah, exactly. That was my thought. I was like, there's no way that it's 2016 was the last time they won.
Yeah, I mean, that freaking program. By the way, I know John knows this because he rubbed it in last year. Oh, you're already laughing, huh? Is that funny?
No jokes.
Yeah. I saw a nice little pop-up on my phone. It was a picture of me, Chad, Mason, and some friends of ours here in Phoenix, you know, the day of the devastating loss to the UConn Huskies in the finals against our beloved Boilermakers.
Yeah. Well, then UConn went and stole the best player out of Indiana, who's going there next year. So, bummer.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I was nice about it, I thought. I didn't rub it in.
Any message was mean, okay, at that point. I mean, it hurt for a long time afterwards. And then to have the stupid Facebook reminder pop up and remind me again of the loss that was to the UConn Huskies, who whooped our ass last year. God,
that was an ass kicking.
God, it was terrible. But you know what? I think Purdue has a legit shot again this next year. I'm excited. I'm excited for basketball. But it was fun to watch the Gators win last night. So we're recording this, you know, the day after the Gators beat Houston with that dumbass last play that Houston did. God, can you believe? Did you see Kelvin's face?
Yeah, wow. He looked like he was going to puke.
I felt bad for him, but honestly, yeah. I was cheering for Florida. So and I really didn't give a shit who won, to be honest with you. But fun game, at least, you know, all the way down to the wire. So, I just want to start this thing off by saying, John, I want to see if you remember this. You are also a customer of Rhino's. We have a friendship. You're a client of ours. You have been for a while now. And I remember saying to you early on, one day in the near future, once you've kind of been through a nice little growth spurt together, we're going to do this and we're going to do it live on the To The Point podcast. Do you remember that conversation?
That's right. Yeah.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. And it's been cool to watch you, you know, and you and I actually have stayed pretty tight, you know, and stayed in contact throughout the years about all kinds of random shit too, or when something pops in your head, or just the growth and experiences that you go through. And like I said, you've been to a couple Rhino X's, and then like Chad Peterman won this year at Rhino X, the Charge Award, you had won the previous year, the Charge Award. And for those who don't know what the Rhino X Charge Award is that's for those who attend the event and then actually leave and implement things they learned from the event. If it's not just things, tactics, it could be the relationships, you know, leveraging the relationships at the event to take and scale their businesses, which John did and has been doing successfully over the past couple of years, man. So it's been fun to watch your journey, dude. You know, and I've been, yeah. And it's been cool to see you've had some serious growth happening. And that's just the kind of stuff that we want to tap into. And the previous episode that we recorded was from the West Coast. And now we're clear on the East Coast, right? For all of our East Coast listeners to hear your story up in Connecticut.
We're representing from Connecticut here.
Representing the Northeast. So assuming you're also a Celtics fan, you're probably happy. I'm guessing. Are you a Celtics fan?
Yeah, I'm a Celtics fan.
Of course. All right. Well, congratulations to you on that shit too. Just keeps, looks like the good times are just rolling up there in the Northeast right now.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, I want to, I just want to, again, we're going to dig into some of your story, but there's some things that I paid attention that you guys have done. And, over these last, you know, I would say even the last few months that I felt like you guys have done a great job of, and Chad's really going to appreciate this. I've given lots of presentations over my tenure, you know, at Rhino, talking about marketing, and I talk about the six P's, and some of them are basic, but the last two P's are around people, and the other one is personality. And you have done a fantastic job of giving F.F. Hitchcock a personality. So real quick, what I want you to do, you know, because F.F. Hitchcock is plumbing, heating, air conditioning, electrical, and some other shit, fuel, oil, generators. And then somebody's scratching the surface on roofing a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're trying it.
To hit on all that stuff and to see kind of how you've experienced the, you know, the similarities or the troubles and the things and all that stuff. You know, Chad and I are just together last week going through our, you know, first year of our roofing business and talking about what we learned and where we're headed and that type of stuff. So we're in the journey and you're at the beginning of that journey. So I'll be curious to hear your take on it. But maybe let's do this. Why don't you know the drill, man? Just like right up front, just share a little bit of your background in the trades. Start off with where the business is at today, right? Because you had some decent growth over these last few years, like even through the hardship. Yeah. Like you were one of those companies that when it was super hard, kept growing and kept scaling, right? So I want to be able to share that journey. But maybe just, again, let the listeners know, because this is a multi-generational business. I love these legacy companies. And this thing's been around since like 1870 or some crazy shit like that. Wasn't it?
Was it 1870?
Like, it's hard to even understand what that business is like in 1870. But it makes for, I love history. So anytime there's these legacy companies, man, I think it's so cool. Multi-generational, things like that. So just, you're going to have to give like the Cliff Notes version of this deal. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But start off with where you're at, you know, and then just kind of maybe let listeners know your journey so they understand, you know, your take from your perspective.
Well, you said we had 45 minutes, right?
Motherfucker, you got four.
All right. So real quick. So yeah, the company started in 1870. It was literally a general store. I mean, like I have invoices from like the 1880s and stuff. We sold like, it was like going on the Oregon Trail. Like, do you need like a, you know, a wagon wheel and like a set of clothing and hopefully you don't get like cholera.
Dysentery.
Typhoid fever.
Dysentery. Yeah. Whatever it is. And so, you know, the business grew as technology came into place. I mean, literally, indoor plumbing gets invented, we started doing plumbing. Indoor heating is invented, we started doing, you know, heating and air conditioning as it got invented. So that chased us all the way through to more recent times. We were primarily new construction, high-end residential, light commercial. And then, you know, 2008 comes around, we had to reinvent ourselves. We struggled. We tried to get the service game going, but really nothing clicked. We were doing okay. And, you know, a few years back, we met actually at a Lennox show. And I remember you guys were like, you're not ready for us yet. Like, go figure it out. So, you know, we rebranded with Kick Charge through, you know, with the new website through you guys. Really embraced Service Titan at that same time. And now really the rest is history. Our growth is pretty incredible. We're very humble, or humble to be on this ride with our employees, because I wouldn't have necessarily, I believed it, but like people thought it was crazy. Right. So it just kind of proved them wrong, but no, it's been great.
Well, you got to be a little bit crazy, but so where's revenue at today? Just so we know where your projected revenue is totally fine too. For the
sure, know. Yeah, just north of 20 million for revenues. We're stringing together some serious million-dollar months. 1.4s, 1.5, somewhere in there, on service and install, and having some fun with some new products, getting into the roofing and solar game. We'll see how that all pans out.
Yeah. I told you to give the Cliff Notes version, and that was probably the Cliff Notes of the Cliff Notes version, because you went straight from 1870 to like 2022. You blew
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You know,
maybe I messed you up, dude, because
no, that's okay.
I think that what's interesting to understand, because if I'm listening to something, well, why the hell did it take so long to get to $20 million or whatever it is, and you talked about new construction and kind of being in that game. When did you actually get into the business?
Sure. Yeah. December 28th, 2006, to be specific. I actually had my first time card.
There's significance to that date, right?
So I left college. I did 3.5 years of academics, played 4 years of football, and decided that since I had no more eligibility, it was time to go work. Kind of a crazy story, but went to work for another company on an internship. They ended up going out of business, and I got stuck, kind of holding the bag. So I went to work for my dad. Right around that 2008 timeframe, and then again, the economy hit the shitter and new construction went to nothing. So, I was a newbie in a company that was struggling, and, we just tried everything. But we had to learn it a lot along the way and made a lot of mistakes. But just kept trying and, here we are, we got lucky. I mean, Service Titan came along and sort of helped us get organized. And you guys came along and helped us develop a brand. We always had history, but we didn't have a true purpose. So I think that's where we kind of landed with, the rebrand and embracing history, but not hiding behind it. We like to think of ourselves as like the 155-year-old startup. Because it's just like it's kind of wildfire here every day. I mean, we're scrambling. We're building three desks on the other side of this wall right now because I'm out of desks. Buying every van we can buy, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I saw one of your posts. I forget when it was. I think maybe it was at the end of last year when it was for the positions that you're hiring for, and I was like, see more. You click on and it's the drop down of the rest of the text. I was like, holy shit, man. It's like a novel.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Listen to your
eyes. Yeah, you're interested in working, we'll hire you.
Yeah. John, one question I've got for you, just because it sounds like we've maybe experienced something similar. So, you said kind of new construction, you joined in 06, obviously 08 happens. What was kind of that transition like with you, and I don't know if your dad's still in the business or, whatever that looks like, but maybe take us through that like transition. Cause I know there's a lot of people, or at least I get a lot of questions about, family dynamics and the transition of power and all of this stuff, like kind of walk me through that transition, what that looked like, hurdles,
sure,
successes, different stuff like that.
Yeah. My dad is still in the business. He's actually home from Florida, so he's here today. He's here to help out and with just the knowledge, but also he loves just going to pick up parts or drop things off, et cetera. I run the business with my two brothers. We're not a company that's big on like titles and stuff, which is weird when we hire people in, like, especially as we're growing and we're hiring management levels and they're like, well, what's my title? And I'm like, you're just gonna start doing this. I don't really care what people call me. I mean, I kind of do it all, fix the copy machine, make the coffee. Doesn't matter to me. But one of the hard things, I think, getting into the business, like you said, I was 22 years old, And, you know, I'm working with people who are in their 40s and 50s and like, how do I gain that respect? You know, we chose, you know, and my brother's the same way, we just chose to work right next to him. And, you know, I committed to trying to, you know, work more hours than anybody else in the company. I tried to be the first one in the ditch and the last one out of the ditch. It didn't matter. Like, there's no job too hard, or too easy. And I think I gained the respect of my peers really quickly that way, because we were side by side. I never wanted to be treated like the boss's son. I actually like hated that shit. So just wanted to be one of the guys. And you know, as things progressed, we had to keep hiring more people, and we built in some levels of management, and we still are. But I still like to think that I know everybody's name, and I still almost do every hire in every interview, because I want to know that the people we're bringing in are going to add to the company, not take something away.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
By now, you've probably heard how much of a proponent I am for BlueOn, but I'm not the only one. When you talk to service managers using BlueOn, the stories all sound very familiar. Nick Christensen over at Herbal Heating says his team saved 46 hours in just the first month. Between the parts lookup, wiring diagrams, and AI troubleshooting, his techs are solving issues faster and ordering the right part the first time. It's even streamlined communications between the techs and the parts department. They just screenshot over the right part from BlueOn and send it over. It's simple, it's accurate, and it works. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Do yourself a favor, click the link in the description and book a quick demo to see it in action.
I'm telling you right now, keep doing that, because that is what has got you where you are. I resonate with a lot of your story of like, you know, when I came into the business, I didn't know how to do anything. So I'm like, well, how am I going to like add any sort of value to this place whatsoever? And so it was just that. It was like the only way I'm going to earn the trust of the people that I need to carry this out, because I don't know how to do that stuff, is I'll just work right alongside you. Just let me know what you need. I'm here. I'm a hell of a helper. Like, because I'm a go-getter. I'll go get you whatever you need. I don't actually know what I'm doing, but I will help the shit out of you. Parts, pieces, tools, whatever you need. I'll be that guy for you. But I think that's such a cool piece, because I think that there's a number of family stories that I've saw go the opposite direction, where someone comes in and they feel entitled and all of these things, and it just leads to a lot of chaos. But, you know, coming in with the right type of mindset of like, hey, you know, I'm just one of the guys. I'm just here. Yeah, I have the same last name and you guys know I'm related. That doesn't really make a difference. We're all here to kind of push this thing forward.
I think we need to clip the "I'll help the shit out of you" piece from Chad and then
post. That's right.
That's going to be a great one. Well, so I respect that, because you're saying you're kind of willing to come in and just, you know, work more hours to show, you know, versus just talk about it. You're going to be about it, as we say. But if you played football in college, like, you kind of got to have some of that discipline already, right? Because once you play collegiate sports, like, that's a whole nother level of discipline, because now you're trying to do academics and practice. So even if you sucked. You know, you still have to have some of that, like, that discipline and like work hard mentality. So I'm assuming some of that kind of helped you when you transitioned into real life business.
Yeah, I was a much better football player than I was a student, hence the 3.5 years. but you know, I gotta be one of the longest students in Merrimack College history, because I did go 2 years ago. I went back to school, and completed my degree, and like I marched right up there. I went right through, like, I, you know, I'm 38 years old and I'm walking for graduation. I didn't care. You know, I'm like, I earned this. So, you know, but I did finally graduate 2 years ago, which was awesome. Yeah, I mean, football, you know, had a big impact in me. I post-college, I coached football for 15 years. I just stopped a year and a half ago because I figured I can't do both. You know, I can't run a business and coach football. I can't leave at 3:30 every day to go coach kids, even though I love it. Yeah, you learn a lot about playing on a team. I was lucky enough to be the captain of my college team. And so I think a lot of my leadership skills and things I don't even realize I'm doing per se just comes natural to me. But a lot of that was from sports, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I played football in college and high school and all of that. And I think that the whole mantra of just, hey, I just want to be one of the guys, I'm just here, I think is like the most quintessential football like adage, because in football, you only get to play one side of the ball and you only get to play one position at a time. And you've got to depend on the 10 other guys while you're on the field to do their job. And you've got to do yours. And sometimes that means that you're not involved in the play. You know, it ran to the other side of the field and you're on the backside. Well, you're just not going to get there. And that's okay. Or you're, you know, like young Mason, you may be a wide receiver and it's a running play. Well, you know, do your part. And they may be running to the opposite side. But I think that that's such, I've actually never, like, I mean, I obviously knew football had a big impact, but like the way that you said it, I think really resonated with me of like, oh, I think that's kind of where I got kind of just, sure. Hey, you're just part of the team. No one, there is, you know, on a football field, there's not a whole lot of hierarchy. It's, hey, everybody's got to do their thing. The D lineman, the linebacker, the safety, whatever it may be, like everybody's got to do their job and everybody's a little bit different.
Yep.
Takes yeah. And I have, I think 6 of my former players that work for me now.
That's awesome.
You know, I've hired them in different role, service techs and stuff like that. And, help them go through tech school and stuff, because, you know, you got in a weird way. Like, I mean, you know, you got a kid that's going to do his 1/11th, as you said, and not be, you know, committed to just himself. You know, we talk all the time about just being a one employee company. Like, it comes down to each and every employee. Like, you know, everybody has to do their job, in order to get, so that everybody get paid at the end of the day, or everybody can enjoy their work at the end of the day. Yeah, so I mean, it's a good mentality to bring people into our organization that already have that mindset.
Yeah.
So okay, so let me just walk through this with you for just a second. When did you really start getting? Well, actually, let me take another step back. Your father was in the business, but was your grandpa or anybody else, uncles, anybody like great uncles, who else was in this? I mean, this is
also, yeah. I come from a background of plumbing and heating. You know, my uncles owned another company that was owned by my grandfather. My grandfather had an opportunity to buy this company in the early 1969.
Isn't it crazy to think he bought a 100-year-old business then?
Yeah, right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, and my dad's been working here for, you know, 55 years. You know, which is even more crazy.
Wow.
You know, we've been lucky. You know, my dad's literally let us fail and, you know, not warned us, because, you know, he knew he wouldn't be around forever to teach us those things. Luckily, we still have him here. But, you know, it's been a big learning curve at different points, for sure.
So like Chad works with his brother, Tyler, right? And they kind of have their set roles with what they do in the business, and it works, right? And they know that. And like, so there's, it's crystal clear on like what their jobs are, what they got to do. You got two brothers in this with you?
Yep.
So do you, is it kind of like that where do you know who has what roles and you all focus on your roles? Is there still overlap? Like kind of how's that look? And there's a reason I'm asking that question because the lead up is I want to talk about some of this like growth spurt that you have. I'm just trying to understand who's doing what in this, you know, during this process.
So our middle transition, I guess what I kind of left out was, so in 2008 with the housing crisis sort of exploding, we focused mostly to new construction commercial and tenant fit out type stuff, and focused a lot of that for a good portion of about 10 years. I was running service and fuel and installs on the residential side. My brother Mike was running commercial, where that was the most of the company was on that side. And I was trying to figure out service and install. And really just in the last 18 months, you know, we got to a point where service and install and adding, you know, electrical trades as well, just became way too much work. And the last holdout was some of this commercial work that, you know, it's better than residential because, you know, you're going to get paid for it theoretically, but your terms are awful, you know, with pricing and changes, you know, on a year-long project, it just doesn't make sense. So we continue to pull back from the commercial space, and Mike and Sean have shifted back over to the residential side mostly, and they handle purchasing, installs, some of that service coordination stuff. But yeah, we're all kind of hands in.
Are you mostly responsible for like all the, like the overall growth of the business today? How much is your dad still involved in that piece of it?
Dad's still involved. But yeah, I mean, I think he'd be the first one to tell you like what we've done here isn't something he'd never envisioned. And he's had many employees, at different points we had 40, 50 employees. And then we were back down at 10 or 15. We've gone through those cycles, but it was all on contract jobs. You know, you got 30 people on a site. We've never had, you know, 30 people in the field individually. That was sort of, I think, the scary thing. You know, every time you go out and buy 5 vans, you know, you're like, you know, here we go. You know, it's a lot of risk and reward, growing service and install, but you know, I guess it's worth it.
I was just trying to think through like in this process, when did you kind of get handed the keys of this thing to start taking it and making some of these major shifts? Because when you come to Rhino X, you listen to this podcast, we're so heavily focused on the residential market, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, the big argument I think a lot of times is, you know, there's thin margins on commercial. You're waiting to get paid, so you got to be able to, you know, support that, you know, lag of cash. And like, there's so many things, and it's like, oh, but the margin in retail is so good. And like, but it's also a change of mindset. It's a change of process. It's a lot of different changes. And you've segued into, you know, into doing, you know, more of that. The difference is you actually play ball with the, you know, between the HVAC side, the plumbing side, the electrical, the fuel oil, which is a great business, be a great business. but there's also, you know, now you've kind of flirted with roofing and things like that. And some people might be like, John, what the hell are you doing, man? You're doing too many things. Like you should be focusing on, you know, one thing or the other. And I can agree with some of these things because people, you know, but I also have understood like the last one we just had on talked about how that may have saved the business, or maybe not saved, but that's what helped him scale, because he learned how to bring on another trade and then cross market, you know, to existing customer base to scale the business when things got a little bit rocky. So I think there's some real value there if you have somebody who I think actually can execute on the trade, right? And manage trades. And I'm not questioning any of those things. You guys are 155-year-old business. So I'm not saying anything other than when you took the keys to this thing, you clearly had some intention, because you didn't just come to Rhino X and pay the big ticket price to be there to just take pictures and be around people. Like you wanted to learn the things, and you did, like you proved it. That's why you ended up winning the charge award that second year you came back. So what is it like? you being a coach is like the perfect position to be in to lead a business. And it's even better when you're bringing in some of your old players who already trust you as their coach, right? And I think this is something like Chad it really excels at, is being a leader in the business and understanding how to bring people along with you and help them grow and scale to meet whatever the company goal is for the year. But you kind of took the reins and said, okay, like I'm going to go and start building this thing too. So you had to learn a lot of different facets of this business, but you picked up on, hey, we need to start going down this residential route. So what is it that you like? Let's just use RhinoX as an example. When you came to the very first one, or even the second one, or any of them, forget it. What is it that you were looking for, that you wanted to take back, or what did you learn? It can be like across the three of them you've been to, but what is it that you were looking for? And then what is it that you started implementing in these businesses that helped you scale over these last few years?
I think in a way we've kind of been sheltered here in Connecticut. There isn't the major players at the time. Now there's some more private equity money moving in, but at the time it just was a lot of small companies, and I didn't even know. I'm just being completely naive. I mean, I go to my first RhinoX, and I'm literally in the airport. Coming home, calling my dad. I'm like, Dad, you wouldn't even believe there's guys out here that are doing, 40, 50, 60, $100 million in revenue. And he's like, there's no way, we didn't even know about this. And I don't know what sheltered life we live out here in New England, but, it took me to go to the first RhinoX. Stupid me. I mean, I was sitting with Chad, and I think he told me what he was doing. And I was like, I'm probably supposed to know who he is. I have no idea who this guy is, but I was just that innocent. The best thing about RhinoX is you're there and you're talking to people and you're having a conversation. You realize they're not that much different than you are. I kind of got that mindset of like, why not me? Why can't I can do that? If they did it, I'll do it. I had a coach back in college who was really young, and he said he was old enough to know better, young enough not to give a fuck. kind of the mentality I just embraced. I was like, we literally have nothing to lose at this point. We were struggling as a business, struggling to make payroll and pay vendors and everything else. I said, well, we have nothing here to lose. Let's throw it up. And so. A lot of risk, a lot of chances. Got lucky here and there. It really, what catapulted me from the first, the second Rhino last year, 2 years ago, I should say. I paid a little extra. I went to the VIP dinner. If you remember, I sat next to you, and, that made it a little more intimate, I think. Be able to sit there and say, just listening, a lot of times I don't think people do a good job of listening. They're already thinking about how they're going to respond, and they don't take in the full, conversation. And I just tried to be, control some of my, ADD and nervousness, I guess, too, and listen. You're sitting there and people around you, and you're like, man, I should be writing notes at dinner. it's pretty remarkable, the people that are in those rooms.
Yeah, I want to commend you for saying that live on the air, because that's it is difficult. I think to be, to say something vulnerable like that, because it's easy to want to posture too, right? Like around people who have been successful and say things.
People don't do that in our industry, do they?
No.
Posturing? None of that.
Never.
None of that here.
But you did exactly what you should do. And by the way, that is something that, changing the mindset, Chad will tell you this, just being in, if that's what it took, was you being around, sitting next to Chad, hearing what Chad's done, and you saying, hey, why not me? You're absolutely right. Why not you? Right. You unlocked one little, you unlocked one lock there that just kind of took you to a whole nother level, or at least opened you up to thinking about, okay, I need to pay attention and Then you went, you know, the next level of going to the VIP dinner isn't so much around being VIP. It's more so around who you're with in that dinner and the small group that it is with. That's what it's about. Because now you're creating relationships with people who can help you ongoing too. Like you can do that regularly too, but the VIP puts you in a different situation, you know, and it was a great group, you know, we had in there of contractors and, you know, the speakers. And
well, last year I sat next to Mr. Kennerator himself, Mr. Ken Goodrich. And you know, and I remember you're like, I'm looking at the name tags and you're like, yeah, you're sitting next to Ken. That's pretty good. Right. And I'm like, dude, you know, what is this? You know, I'm listening to his book on the way to the show, and here he is sitting next to me. But another person who I hope he'd be okay with me calling him a mentor in the industry, because, you know, same thing. I mean, you know, I shoot him a text and, you know, he gets right back to me about what he would do, or I shoot him a text and he never gets back to me because he's just off doing something else.
you know, it's, just so you know, that's a very normal process for Ken.
Yeah, no, and he'll tell you to you.
Same way, yeah.
Yeah. But again, you know, it's just amazing.
Right back. Yeah. And it's a, and I got to be on it. But
John, I think your point there, I think the point that you made that I think is important for people to hear is, and you may not have even meant anything by it, but I think it's so important, is I think he would be okay with me calling him a mentor. And I think there's so many people, and I'm so fortunate to be in this industry, as we all are, is that there's so many people who have done so many amazing things that are so willing to help. And even if it's not like, oh, I'm on like a first name basis with this person or, you know, whatever it is, like you can still watch from afar. I mean, there are plenty of people that I have stalked for many of years of like, all right, what are they doing? I'm going to get on your website. I'm going to get on this. I'm going to figure out what you're doing. And I think that that's the beauty of this industry that, I mean, obviously we've talked a lot about Rhino X. I mean, that's a huge piece of just being around those people. I mean, I remember, I was on the beach and I just so happened to look at my phone and it's Ken calling. And I'm on the beach. I'm building sandcastles, doing whatever. But just because I've looked up to him for so long and followed kind of what he's done and all this stuff, I like picked up the phone. My wife's like, who are you on the phone with? It's like, oh, it's just Ken. And he had just like some simple question, but like, okay, yeah, I'm going to answer the phone because I know that he would answer the phone and, you know, help me out and do all of that stuff. And I think that's really the cool part that I think Rhino X is a prime example of, like, kind of, I think, kind of meshing all of us that are trying to build something and are like, you know, trying to figure this out with like the people that have done it and, you know, done a lot of the similar things. Like, you know, like we've all been in the same spot, like you telling your story. I'm like reliving like, oh, yep. I remember when we were in the office and we were thinking that same thing and that's what we were doing. Like everybody's gone through the same stuff. So to posture and act like, oh, well, that doesn't affect me. And I'm all, guess what? We've all been through crap. There's always been tough stuff. And like, to me, the fact that we can all lean on each other is like one of the coolest things. I mean, I talk to people from outside the industry and they're like, you would share that with somebody? I was like, yeah, what the hell? You know, like let's figure it all out together and we'll build something better. So I think that's so cool. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I said to Chris a few weeks ago when he asked me to be on the show, and I'm like, I don't really think I'm ready or deserve to be on the show because I don't want to pretend like I'm somebody that I'm not. I mean, you know, we literally walk into, you know, a fire drill most days of the week. It's still a mad scramble to get, you know, hire the right people and figure out what the next step is. We don't pretend to be perfect at all, but we try to learn from our mistakes, you know, because we made enough of them that we might as well learn from them. You know, it's a crapshoot, but you're right. I mean, you know, just being able to bounce ideas off each other, whether it's through a text message or a phone call, or, you know, I've gotten on Zoom a couple of times with some different people and, you know, it's invaluable to get some of that seat time with people. You're right. I mean, you talk to other people in other industries and like, that's your competitor. I'm like, no, we're friends, you know, it's cool.
You said fire drill. All you're doing is preparing yourself for every phase of the business as it scales. Is an everyday fire drill. You're just going to end up building a full process around it and somebody lead the fire department.
Yeah.
You know, well, in order to, like, I love that you're taking advantage of the relationships and you're not trying to pretend like you know things that you don't. And that way you can get to the answers that you need. But then you must have implementers in there who are actually putting these things into process, unless it's just you. I can't imagine it's just you.
It was for a while. I've realized quickly that I can't do it all. Somebody in the office sat me down and she's like the motherly figure around here. And she said, like, we get it. Like you might be better at everything that goes on here than all of us. Like you could do it better than any of us. We'll admit it, but you can't do it all. And that sank like right here. Like, cause you know, I didn't trust. And that was my hardest thing I did was trying to give up some control and do some delegation. And that's what I'm trying to focus on this year. I'm just trying to hire people to do all of my jobs, not because I'm lazy, but I know that it's really effective when I'm getting 5 tasks done by not doing them, and being able to delegate. So, you know, my role in trying to shift is to more of that like head coach role. I'm just trying to tell people kind of what plays to run. And sit back and watch it play out on the field.
Yeah, I want to shift gears for just a second. I wanted you to say that out loud was because, you know, going into these events and meeting the people and doing the things and learning the things doesn't mean that you have to be the one to execute all of them. At some level, you can't. Like you've heard the term, you got to delegate to elevate. You've heard a million variations of that. It's so true. And then your job is just to, and this is a conversation I feel like I have, or I get asked or talked about often, whether it's in my, you know, my group of buddies or whatever, it's around, well, how do we start to build, you know, leaders internally? Like, how do we get some of our managers to actually become leaders? And, you know, there's lots of options that you can do to help you with that. Or if you have that skill like you do, John, then you can build them internally without having to go to a third party, company or organization or something like that to help you. So, but I do want to shift gears for a minute because we're already kind of getting deep into this episode. And there's some things that you've done really well that I want to commend you on. And I want you to talk about it. But the most recent one is, actually, let me back up a second. You know, you hear me say right at the beginning of the show, I talk about, the 6 P's of marketing and the 2 major things that can set a business apart are the 5th and 6th P, which is people and personality. Because everyone's so afraid to give their business a personality. And you've done a great job of it because you've implemented a few things in using, you know, even social media as your platform that I thought were great. And I thought were funny and risky, a little bit risky. One of them was pretty funny. So I would encourage anybody who's listening, who wants to check out John's social, go to his Facebook page and look at some of the stuff his team has done.
Yeah, we have fun.
It is fun. And so you've done a few things. I'm going to call it out and then I'm going to get specific on one. You did the, I'll actually finish with the last one I want to go, but you've done the prank calls of the CSRs, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Right. You did the one where it was a lady, whenever she's talking through like a paper towel roll and like her head was stuck in duct work. And then the other guy's talking about how he wanted to rent the toilet for Easter. It was hilarious listening to your CSR. God bless her for being a good sport and then taking that. But it was funny for you guys to do that. And somebody's probably like, well, why is he wasting their time? If that's you, stop being lame. Okay. It was funny. It was good. It gave you guys your business a personality, right? You can have fun with it. Right. And I thought that was pretty hilarious. You did the Hitchcock was the home service tips. Don't be like Herbert. Or I think it was a couple of your employees, like kids or something like that.
Yeah, it was our kids. Yeah. The kids.
That was hilarious too. So that was a good use of it. And then, the home show thing that you just did with the upside down booth.
Yeah.
Now that was awesome. Because, you know, we all go to the home shows. We see a lot of the same things. You have cool setups. But Chad, did you see this? He built an upside down booth and did a photo shoot for it. And it is badass. Whenever we play this, we're going to have to post a picture of this or somehow maybe throw it in the YouTube.
Yeah.
But that was pretty interesting. I got to know, did it work like you hope it would work?
It was awesome. You know, we're at a home show and people are there like looking for bathroom remodeling, kitchen remodel stuff too. And they had no idea, like they thought we were trying to advertise bathroom remodels by showing this upside down bathroom. I'm like, no, it's just, you know, a play on, you know, we're trying to flip the home services space on its head. And so, yeah, we went out, we bought a photo booth camera, like, you know, you can see it on the iPad, and just flipped the image. So when the picture got taken, it looks like it's upside, you know, right upside down, but they're hanging from the ceiling like a bat. And it was awesome, you know, and the camera we had, like, automatically texted out the photos to the people and hashtagged and all that stuff. So, and I was trying to think, I actually think, you know, I saw that idea, Chris, it had to be 5 years ago, on a list of like 50 guerrilla tactics. I think it was through Nexstar, or something, along that road. And I always had a dream of building this thing for a home show, and we did it this year. So, but, it's heavy.
Was it a good,
you have a toilet hanging from a ceiling.
Yeah, dude, but it was so good, and it's different. Right. And it was funny. Like, it was funny. People come to take pictures who have no interest, you know, in the service at that time, but it's branding at that point. Right. But it was a, you know, whenever people come to your booth at these home shows, there's a little bit of a crowd, that's better. Right. Cause then it makes it more comfortable for others to come by or want to know what the hell's going on. Right. And that,
yeah, there was a lot of that. We actually had a lot of vendors taking pictures in the booth too, and, you know, because they thought it was funny. So,
so will this be a part of your stuff moving forward?
Yeah. So we actually built two of the shells. We only got the one done. That's the bathroom scene. But we're already working on like a mechanical room. So like the furnace will be upside down, the ductwork will be upside down. So you'll be standing in a, you know, you'll be hanging out, changing the air filter in a upside down mechanical room or something.
Chad, if you got your computer pulled up, take a look at it. Go to the Facebook page.
I'm trying to find it, but I'm terrible at searching on Facebook.
I don't you just got to look for John Bowman. You got to look for him and go to his page, and you'll find it there. Another one that you did do that I thought was hilarious is it was the playoff Galifianakis is between two ferns.
Yeah, between two ferns.
Between two furnaces. And I thought that was pretty hilarious. That was you being able to show your personality. Again, all this stuff was just entertaining, right? Because we are all in the entertainment business. How we get it, that's how we get attention, right? For our businesses, regardless of what we do. And you just used humor, which like is right up my alley. I love it. And I think my favorite skit you did there was the mullet one. When you're walking around, everybody's got the mullets on in the office. And you're like, I don't like it. Yeah. So you got creative with it. So I don't
know. Yeah, we were talking about people installing solar systems on their house. And I hate, like, you're going through a neighborhood and you see like this ugly panels on the front of a house. And so we're trying to say like solar installation should look like a mullet. Like it should be business up front and the parties in the back. And yeah, we had fun. And then my dad shows up out of nowhere wearing a mullet. They actually got me on that one. So it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of it, is just you got creative and you use that P very well of giving the business a personality, which, again, you know, I think is incredibly important, right? Because it does set yourself apart when nobody wants, if nobody's looking for the service or wants to have to use the service, right? It's good to just be able to entertain those people. So when it does come time, well, they know who to go to.
So, but those kind of things don't cost a lot of money either. Right, you know, you know, it's creativity, but, you know, all of a sudden you go sort of viral on some of that stuff. And, you know, we're just trying to be famous here in Cheshire, Connecticut. You know, I'm not trying to be famous across the USA. You know, we're trying to be famous for our customers. So, yeah, it's been pretty good so far.
Keep doing it, man. I love it.
Thanks.
I will say I'm going to pivot one more time, and this is going to be another hard pivot, but it's something I want to talk about because I know that you, I want to understand how you're using this because it's another tool that the listeners can use, especially if you're in the HVAC space, is you use your online store. You have an online shop on your website for filters and equipment and things like that. We've had these conversations before around e-commerce, and there is a process to implement these things, like some do, some don't with it. Like, it's just an option, you know, if it works. Do you guys actually, I know a lot that have it on their site, but don't actually do anything to drive traffic to it other than it just being filters, like the filter, you know, the filter service. Are you guys actively using it? Or do you have somebody that owns that process of using that shop?
Yeah, we're trying to refine it right now. You know, I think we're ready to start selling systems online. Which scares me, but also, you know, makes me excited. I mean, people are getting more and more used to large purchases, online. I just, so we're looking, I've never, you know, we right now we use it as a lead source. So we give people like good estimates. They fill out a few questions and then we pop out, you know, a questionnaire, but those turn right into sales because they're really hot leads. Like, you know, somebody's on their computer at 10:30 at night and they send you, a request for, you know, a quote. But they're already informed because you see them, they've clicked like a few different options. They've got a few different, you know, quotes. So you're going into that home and you're like, you're ready to sell because you know what they already want. That's where it's been powerful so far. I'm trying to get to the point where we're literally selling a system online and maybe taking a deposit and then using that as the hottest lead you have, right? You already sold, you know, you have some of their money. They're going to buy what you tell them to buy at that point. So, we're getting there, but yeah, I think we're ahead of the game on some of it.
Are you leveraging finance? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, so I was just going to say, so we've been piloting this, and we put a little bit different spin on it. So like the main model is just quote it so that they don't ever have to talk to anybody, but we've got virtual salespeople. So the way that we've done it is essentially like we give the customer the option, which if you're looking for a marketed lead, one, do you want someone to come out or do you just want to get what we call an e-quote? And so when we do an e-quote, essentially we just have a FaceTime. We've built it out to where essentially they have to upload photos. So like, hey, you want an e-quote? Great. Okay, go take a picture of your furnace, take a picture of your air conditioner, give us a little bit more information, and then let us know what time you want to have a e-quote conversation. And so we've turned it to where we're doing these, but it's kind of a hybrid, right? It's not full blown, just buy a system without ever talking to anybody. So essentially we get their information and then we have one of our virtual people hop on a Zoom with them and they can see their pictures and so on and so forth. And they're quoting the systems right there. We're getting those leads of people. Now, they would have potentially been marketed led leads that we would have had to gone out to their home. But if you look at your marketed close rate, it's probably not like phenomenal. You know, obviously we want to drive most leads through service into sales, make a turnover opportunity, but it has essentially, you don't have to run people all over town. Like I have a guy that can just sit in front of his computer screen and rattle off four or five estimates for people that are, you know, they may be kicking the tires, but at least they've had some face-to-face with somebody and so on and so forth. So we've tried it that way, just putting a little bit different spin on it. We're still building some stuff out, but it's worked decently well, I think, in generating leads.
Are you using, because I know you lead, your guys' team leads so much with financing. Are you also adding the financing option to that so they can get pre-approved in the process, or do you wait for that?
So we wait for it. So we give them the price once they get on the phone or once they get on the Zoom call with
them. Oh, got it.
And they're doing a presentation. So that's why I said it's kind of a hybrid piece. I think there'll be a day when people will just buy it online. And I know that people have had success with it. We look at this as kind of like that intermediate step of like, we're just kind of dipping our toe in the water and seeing how it can work. But we've definitely sold systems from it where people are interested talking to somebody. It doesn't take that long. And, you know, there's guys selling them from, you know, the office.
It's interesting. I've been talking about people buying systems online for a decade.
Yeah. We're ready to do it. I mean, I just got to figure out exactly the process. Like Chad said, like, you know, I think you do need an inside sales rep that's like dedicated to like online consultations. But I think it's definitely possible. You know, on the fuel side, I started a website probably 10 years ago now. It's called deliverbefuel.com. You know, we sell a million gallons online a year, just people buying online. I know it's smaller purchases, but you know, it's 24/7. It's open every day of the week. You know, and if I could sell oil and propane online, I could sell a water heater or a furnace. I know I can.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you giving us time. I know they're on the East Coast, going to be pushing 5 o'clock, but since you don't have any, I'm sorry, Chad. Jeez, I'll keep you waiting on you. You got to go pick up. You can probably go pick up the kids, don't you?
I do. Here in a minute.
But John, appreciate you giving us, you know, some time in the afternoon and, and just kind of sharing the story, being vulnerable enough to talk about the shit you don't know, right? And just being open about your experience. And it's not so much about Reno X, you know, that it's about what you learned and took away from it that you, you know, apply towards the business is what matters most. That's what I want our listeners to hear is, man, there's everybody going through it in all different phases, but the biggest thing you can do is just come in, you know, vulnerable and know that people are willing to help you. And you sat next to Ken Goodrich and talked to him. And did he ever once make you feel stupid?
No,
he didn't make you feel stupid because he's not a total dick like that. Like he's there to help. And the only way these guys can help you is if you actually tell them the problems that you're having, right? Like the real problems, you got to be open about it. Otherwise, because they're not going to be impressed. Like they're there to help you. They're not there to try and be impressed by you, right? They're trying to help you.
Yeah, I got the best compliment this year when I saw him again when we had dinner, and he said, "I just got to tell you, I love that Between Two Furnace show thing you do. I think it's great." And I'm like, Ken Goodrich telling me that something I do, but he did say, he goes, "But you got to add some like low tech stuff in there." I said, "Okay, we're gonna do that. The next show, low tech for Ken."
There you go. By the way, I just saw Ken roll out his first Kenerator commercial with the cape on. Do you guys see that?
I saw it. Yep. It looks great. It's awesome.
Oh, it's such good shit. Well, listen, what he did is exactly what we were just talking about. He's given the generator business a personality, right? They're just generators, or I think he called them personal power sources or personal power plants or some shit like that. I forget what the name of it is, but guarantee you that's going to be successful because he gave a personality to the business. Just like he rolled out in Ghetto with the little boy with the flashlight, right? He told a story, gave the business a personality. That stuff works. That's branding. So anyway, man, listen, I'm glad we got to do this. I was glad to be able to feature you on this, and you guys have had some good scale, and I know you're going to keep going. And eventually, hopefully, you work your dad right into retirement and get him on the road because, my God, 55 years, is that you said? Oh,
yeah.
It's time, man. Come on, Pops.
Yeah.
Hang it up. Let's just go chill for a little bit. I hope to be able to meet your dad sometime. I can't imagine. He's got you guys, he's been in this business that long. I mean, wow. 155-year-old company is incredible. I'd love to dig into the history of it at some point. And, you could probably do some really cool stuff with the history of that business, you know, for in marketing, you know, marketing the brand. So anyway, dude, listen, keep at it. You know, you got the right attitude. You got the right, you know, skills to be able to lead this thing. It sounds like you got fantastic, you know, fantastic help, you know, inside the business. Nobody's got a title because everybody's kind of willing to do the thing. And that's what it takes, you know, at this time is to scale these things and to try new stuff. So, I appreciate our friendship, man. I appreciate,
me too.
You giving us the time and sharing with our listeners.
Yeah. I appreciate both of you and, everything you guys do for the industry and everybody out there. I mean, you know, there's so many good people out there that are willing to help, and the people that are listening, you know, just ask, because I think there's a lot of information out there.
Right. And y'all, tell you what, I'm going to finish with this. Chad, you got off the hook on this one. You know what I mean? You got off the hook because I had three dad jokes ready to go, and I completely.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you.
Forgot
best about guest him. Ever. You confused him. Diverted his attention. I appreciate
yep.
the. Yep. I heard one today. What is a plumber's favorite vegetable?
What is it?
A leak.
A leak?
Oh, the vegetable? The leak?
Nobody knows about that shitty vegetable.
It's a terrible vegetable.
God.
Uh-oh, someone telling joke. No. Chris's segment. He's getting all up in his feels. Bullshit. I felt it coming.
All right. Fuck these dad jokes. I'm never doing any other. Just the dad jokes up your ass. Okay, thanks for that, John. Really appreciate you stealing my thunder, man. Thanks.
Come on.
I'm just kidding.
It's not as bad as, you know, you can beat Purdue.
God. Okay. Well, on that note... John, I'm going to have you finish this thing for me. You don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.